first, we may think that spouses or partners who live together know everything about each other. But when they're suddenly thrown together all day, every day, it can be tough. During this time of social distancing, a lot of couples are spending a lot more time together and under very stressful circumstances, which might include layoffs from work and the financial strain that that brings. Others might be working from home together for the first time or are trying to figure out how caring for kids is going to work when they're unexpectedly home from school as well. All this with the backdrop of not knowing when life is going to go back to normal. With so many aspects to this, we thought it was a good time to check in with Regan Gurung. He is Executive Director of the Center for Teaching and Learning at Oregon State University and Professor of Psychological Sciences there. Previously, he spent about 20 years at UW Green Bay. Regan, always great to have you back with us.
Thanks, Rob. Great to be on.
First, Regan, can I ask, how has this all changed your routines and daily life?
Oh, boy. You know, two kids, 11 and 14, and a wife who also works remotely. I have taken over her office space for this call. So thank you, dear Martha. we're working it out.
Now, let's start with those, two people suddenly both working from home scenario. Are there ways that that people can navigate this up front to avoid a conflict and annoying each other?
Yeah, Rob, actually, before I even answer that, I want to say what amused me about thinking about couples at home and relationships is when you take a look at one of the most popular measures of relationship quality, it's something called the relationship closeness inventory. And the closer you are, the better your relationship and the more likely you are to have a longer, more satisfying relationship. And I think you and listeners may be amused to know that the bulk of the relationship closeness inventory relies on how much time you spend with your partner. Here, I just want to read you one of the items. Think back over the last week and write in the average amount of time per day that you spent alone with your significant other, with no one else around. Think about that, how that has changed for us all in the last five months. So to answer your question, I think the amount of time together is a big factor in relationships. And the difference now is that we are squeezing together many different modalities and aspects of our life all into the same space. Normally, those of us who had to go out and work, you know, we worked out and we came home and our space at home could be home time. Now, context that we work in, it's the same for everything. This, I think, is particularly tough. You mentioned two spouses working at home, but I also think about all these students out there, whether it's K through 12 or in college, who now, instead of having that classroom that they've conditioned for learning, now that same bedroom that they've grown up in, or maybe the dining room table, all of a sudden has to be associated with learning. Just like for us, all of a sudden, our dining room tables or back decks are now have to be associated with work. And I think we're not conditioned for that. So right away, that's something we've all got to get used to. And then on top of that, you have both spouses, and if you have kids in the household, everybody trying to do the same thing at the same time. So this is quite a challenge for the human psyche.
I also want to talk about people dealing with what is in normal times a potential cause of family stress, and that's financial concern. All of a sudden, we have a lot of people who are partially laid off, temporarily laid off, or just full on out of work because of the virus and the shutdowns related to it. What do we know about the kind of stress that can put on a relationship?
Right. I think just any change or transition can be stressful. And I think financial, of course, sickness is a big one. Financial stress is another big one. Any change in status is a big one. So those three big ones, we are experiencing all of them during the pandemic. So I think in many ways, I see coping with the pandemic and pandemics as the perfect storm for relationships, where you've really got to be confident in your relationship. You really got to play up all the strengths so that it can nicely buffer you through these times. Because it would be very easy to misattribute your fear, your anxiety, your thoughts due to the situation, it would be very easy to mistakenly have that spill into your relationship. And instead, you want it to go the other way around. You want all the good stuff from your relationship spilling into helping you cope with the stressors out there.
We're talking to psychologist Regan Gurung from Oregon State University, talking about the pressures that people might see in their families, in their relationships, while they're spending a lot more time together, maybe cooped up at home working or not working. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Is this you? How are you coping? What are the downsides? Maybe. What are the upsides here? Well, Regan, of course, we have a population out there that might give us a lot of insight. People who have retired, people who have, reached that point in their lives when they're together a lot. And I know it's an adjustment period for a lot of relationships. What can we learn from that?
Yeah, quite a bit. And I think, for folks who listen and go, oh, yeah, but retirees have it easy. They don't have to work and so on and so forth. Well, there's part of that. But really what I think retirees have is there's a more important variable that many of us who aren't retired or many of us listeners may have as well, which is, and I think this is one of the most important things we can pull, a long time together. Retirees who have spent a long time together, yes, they've got fewer challenges in terms of what they've got to do day to day, in terms of juggling different job commitments because they're retired. But I think one of the biggest strengths that they have as a couple, as from a relationship perspective, is that they've got that time together. And when you have some time together, you can learn the nuances of people. But most importantly, and a psychological factor that is very protective of stress and a good predictor of good relationships, is knowing the other person well. When you know your partner well, both the good things and the bad things, the better you know your partner, the better your relationship. And I think that is something that retirees really have. They have both the time together to know each other, and that is probably one of the biggest buffers that you can have at a time like this. And I think that's what we should get is the way those people know each other, the way they can finish their sentences or thoughts or anticipate what they're going to do. That level of knowledge can be the strongest thing for a relationship, and especially during these times.
Now, here's another twist I want to throw at you, Regan. In a relationship, you're used to dealing with your partner as, that partner role, the boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, whatever, maybe as a co-parent if you have kids. All of a sudden, we're seeing this person in their work self, or maybe they're playing games online with their buddy's self, and it might be a different person than we know. How does that, does that throw new wrinkles into things here?
Well, I think it throws new wrinkles into things, but it actually, see pointy above, nicely increases your knowledge of your partner. And you mentioned roles. What the psychological science shows is that both in terms of our own well-being, but especially in terms of our knowledge of our partner, the more roles that we are aware of, the better off we are. And here's why. Let's just say I have two roles in my head. And one of those roles isn't going too well. Well, I've only got one other one to, in quotes, fall back on. But if I have multiple roles, if my sense of myself as a father, as a researcher, as a teacher, as a spouse, the more roles that I have well developed, the more roles that I have to buffer myself when one of those roles may not be going well. So in your example, the more roles that we see our spouses or our partners having, even better, because then our knowledge of them grows, and even both their and our ability to not worry too much about what goes on in one role is accentuated. So, hey, you know what? Having a bad homeschooling day, not a problem. You did great in this domain or in that domain. And I think, that's something that can be really useful in these times as well.
We're talking to Regan Gurung right now about what it's like for couples who are suddenly together all the time because of the need for social distancing. Regan is executive director of the Center for Teaching and Learning at Oregon State University and professor of psychological sciences. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you and your spouse or partner suddenly together all the time? What's been the most surprising part of it overall? Good thing? Not good thing? A little of both? Have you found ways to limit stress on your relationship? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Regan Gurung, Executive Director for the Center for Teaching and Learning at Oregon State University and Professor of Psychological Sciences there. We're talking about couples suddenly being together a lot more because of the coronavirus and the need for social distancing and how that works and doesn't work sometimes. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your own experience, maybe your own advice for others. Are you and your partner at home together now a lot more than usual? What's been the most challenging, the most rewarding? If one or both of you are working from home, are you seeing a different side of each other? And if you've retired and worked this out already for yourselves, hey, maybe you have some words of wisdom to share. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Let's go to your calls now. Sue is on the line in Green Bay. Sue, hello.
Good afternoon. I almost said good morning. Good afternoon. How are you?
It all blurs together, Sue. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I just listening to your program. I listen to it every afternoon. And I had the opportunity of 1 year with my husband after he retired, and then he passed away 7 years ago. So I'm finding that I have to live with myself. And I'm, you know, chief cook and bottle washer at a home that I own. I'm finding that the only saving grace for me is my creative outlets and my pets. And I do attend AA meetings online every single day. So that's kind of saved me, but I find it very difficult to not have that person there to buffer what I'm going through, because I see, you know, probably in hindsight that that's probably what he did.
Sue, thank you so much for calling. Sorry for your loss, and thanks for sharing your story. Best to you. Advice for somebody, Regan, in Sue's boat, who doesn't have that support system at home with her right now.
Right. And I think for a range of reasons, somebody may not have their partner at home. I know many of our students who are stuck not being able to get home, their partners are in one place and they're someplace else. And I think there's a whole range of reasons where we may find ourselves by ourselves. And I think this is the time where we really flex and leverage what social media can do for us in terms of reaching out and connecting to people. Because I think as long as we cultivate and develop and really rely on some of our close friends, that can go a long way. It's not the number of people that you know, but it's the quality of support. And especially in Sue's case, I trust and hope that you are in close contact with your good friends and that you talk to them often, frequently, and that can really go a long way. This is the time to truly, activate those networks that you have, and particularly focus on those good friends that you have, because a good close friend can, you know, in some cases be very close to what a spouse or partner can give you.
Sue, very close. Thanks. Thanks so much for that call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We're talking about how we get along during safer at home times. Looking at advice for often couples now, maybe stuck at home together. Maybe we shouldn't say stuck. Maybe that'll make us feel better about it all. You could call it at 800-642-1234. Yeah, Regan, is there a way to, I don't know, take this, instead of talking about it in a negative way, to look at this as a positive opportunity?
Well, I think there are a number of different positive opportunities here. I like to think about this as the fact that all that time that we're saving on commuting and all that, we now have some extra time. Don't just take that extra time and let it get soaked up with more work and so on and so forth. Literally, take some of that extra time and reward yourself with special solo time with your partner, where, you know, quiet time, solo time, however that may be. I think especially in larger households where there's a lot of childcare and homeschooling supervision, or even taking a caregiving, we are not able to put as much time for our partner. And I think creating that time is something, particularly right now, that is extremely important to do. I mean, I know, time with my wife is often after the kids go to bed. One of the downsides of, or I should say downsides, one of the changes is the kids are staying up a little later. That's more solo time, but my wife and I will go for a walk with the dog just by ourselves sometimes. So we have some time together.
Let's talk a little bit about that parenting situation now with kids at home from school and the pressure to try to keep them learning without making it into a battle. Do you have any thoughts on that, Regan?
I think, the classic, what we've probably been hearing a lot about right now of the advice, such as the very general advice about keeping a schedule and so on is all very good. But I think there's something that may be really useful that also goes back, Rob, to where you started, which is what are some things for couples to keep in mind? And I think, especially in these times, the ability to carve out space and designate space. And you may have a very small house or a small apartment, but if you can still designate space for different activities, that can go a long way towards helping you even mentally compartmentalize how things are going. If we get into that routine, and especially kids, if they're playing their games and doing their schoolwork and doing everything in that same one chair, that's actually going to be, over the long term, more of a stressor. Get them into the habit of moving around so that they dishabituate to one certain space. And that moving around can, over the long term, be really helpful in coping with the situation. And something like homeschooling. And I think I must add, all the advice that you hear out there, you have to always say, how does this best work for my context? How does this best work for me as an individual? It's one thing to hear a certain piece of advice, but all of us have to realize there's a great variety in the amount of stress. I have some students on one hand who their biggest stress is that they're bored. On the other hand, I have individuals whose partners are healthcare workers and in the thick of it every day. Those two individuals are going to react very differently to the kind of advice that they hear. And I think we've all got to be doing that.
Do you have thoughts, Regan, on ways we can kind of center the experience of other people's remembering that as we're going through stuff here, everybody else is going through something, some kind of change here at the very least? How can we keep their anxiety in mind and maybe just be better at cutting each other some slack in this world?
Right. I think, Rob, the key thing to remember is, even when we said, what can we learn from retirees or X or Y, I don't think anybody has it easy right now. The people with spouses at home have a whole set of problems to deal with. The people who are living alone have a whole bunch of problems to deal with. So we've all got problems, different kinds of problems. And I think the thing for us to remember, and my favorite thing that I remind myself of, is this: whether it's a partner or a kid or a friend or a stranger, if they react emotionally, we may have a tendency to think it's because of us or because they are bad people or they have a mean streak or whatever. But I think what we've got to remind ourselves of right now that can be very conducive to keeping relationships going well is to say that may be a function of the stress they're experiencing. It may not be me, it may not be them, it may be the stressor, it may be what's going on here. And I think that's an important reminder, because for many of us, we sort of put the events out there, we try and push it away, we try not to listen to too much news. But the thing with stress is, it can be implicit and it can still work its damage on you.
While I was reading up for this conversation, Regan, I came across some advice. I can't remember who I think it was a therapist, suggested for dealing with conflict, trying to have a ratio in communication in a couple, something in the order of 5 positive statements about the other person for every 1 negative. Right. So like, even if you want to bring up something serious, flood the zone with the good stuff and then get to maybe some of the less good stuff.
Well, and let me just tweak that. It's not even if you want to bring up something serious. if you react negatively, because gosh, you know, I can't imagine all of us are positive all the time. Even the most positive amongst us, there will be times when we'll be negative. There will be times when we may be irritable or fly off the handle. That's human nature. And that'll happen. When it does, as long as it's matched up by a lot more positive stuff, then you're on a good track.
And briefly, Regan, can you leave us some thoughts on maybe trying to learn to build our resilience in this time?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the key things to do, I think, is really cultivate your social networks and be selective about it. This is not the time to have your energy eaten up by somebody who's negative a lot. Another big thing we learn from retirees is that they maintain a social convoy around themselves, and they are selective about who is in their convoy. They have handpicked their social support networks to give them the good stuff. That's going to build our resilience, is cultivating and selectively nurturing our supportive networks so we've got that good stuff with us.
Regan, thanks a lot for joining us. Always good to talk to you.
Thanks a lot, Rob. Take care.
Regan Goering is Executive Director of the Center for Teaching and Learning at Oregon State University and Professor of Psychological Sciences there. He spent about 20 years before that at UW Green Bay. Still time to share your thoughts, experiences, and advice. Living at home, maybe with family members, a lot more than you're used to. And if you have that big old convoy of friends you count on in times like this, tell us about that too. You can do that over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.